I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. First John chapter 1 and verse 10 says, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." That three-letter word, sin, is something that most of us and most people do not like to hear. We don't like to see that word, and we don't like to hear of that word sin. Whether you're saved or unsaved, that word sin is a big word. When we look at the sky and we see a cloud, we can look back a little later and the cloud's gone. And that's what God has done with our great cloud of sins as believers. He's blotted them out forever, according to Isaiah 44:22. He says, "I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee." I'd like to speak for the next few minutes about what God has done with the believer's sin and what should the believer's attitude be towards sin. And then why is it important to talk about sin, to teach about sin? Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25 says, "I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins." Isaiah 44:22, "I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee." Psalm 103 and verse 12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." Isaiah 38:17, "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." Micah chapter 7, verse 19, "He will turn again, he will have compassion upon us, he will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." Colossians 2:13, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." And then in Hebrews 10:17, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Well, what is the believer's attitude toward sin because of these verses I've just read? In Romans chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2 it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" As you write the word sin on a blackboard and you erase that word, it's gone forever. Just like sin when it comes to God's forgiveness. You can never find it again. Well, what has God done with the believer's sin? When we believe upon Christ, God takes our sins away. He removes them from us. They can never be found again. We will never, ever see them again here or hereafter. First, God says he has blotted them out. Isaiah 43:25 once again says, "I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins." Secondly, God says he has removed our sins so far away from us, they can never be found again. Psalm 103 and verse 12 again says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." And then we see, thirdly, that God has placed our sins in a place that cannot be found. Isaiah 38:17, "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." Now God is omniscient. That means he knows everything. Isaiah 38:17 means God put our sins in a place that cannot be found. There are certain things that God cannot do. God cannot remember our sin once it's been placed under the blood of Christ. And that's what Isaiah is speaking about here, and that's actually what the Bible teaches, is that once a person received Jesus Christ as Savior, their sin is gone forever. Notice this with me also, number four, or fourth, God says our sins are as far away as the sea. And we've read that in Micah chapter 7, verse 19. There are still some places in the sea that have not been measured. And we know that there's been a lot of exploration in the sea and outer space, but as you look in the sea, there are still places that have not been measured. They're so deep. Our sins are as far away as that. And then we see, fifth, that God says He has forgotten our sins and will remember them no more. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses." And then in Hebrews 10:17, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." God knows everything. And the only thing that He has ever forgotten is the sin of those who believe that Jesus died for them. Remember I said there are certain things that God cannot do. He cannot remember the sin that was in your life that is present with you because of the blood of Christ. They're forgotten. They're gone. Well, what should the believer's attitude towards sin be then? Well, since God has saved us through the shed blood of Christ, should we go on and sin all we want because we know how wonderfully He has forgiven us? Of course not. Romans 6, 1 and 2 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Romans 6, 12 says, "Let not sin therefore reign or have dominion over your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof." To sin means to miss the mark. God has set a target up, if you would, and He set that there. When we try to make heaven on our own, when we try to be saved on our own, that word sin comes into play. It means to miss the mark. We come short of the glory of God because we are missing the mark. Sin keeps us from the mark. And that's what it simply means, is to miss the mark. And I want you to notice with me, there are sins of omission. This means not doing something we ought to be doing. James 4:17 says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." And if we know something to do that we should be doing as a Christian and we don't do it, the Bible says there that that is a sin of omission. In other words, we're not doing it. We're leaving it out, and that becomes sin. And then there are sins of commission. This, of course, means doing things we know to be wrong. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4 says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." Now, we know that there's no flesh justified by the law. The law was given to us as a schoolmaster to bring us to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to help us to understand that we miss the mark, that we can't go to heaven on our own, that there's nothing we can do to save ourselves, that we're all sinners. 1 John chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. If any person in this world believes or says that they have not sinned, if they've never sinned in their lives, then that verse, that last verse I read, 1 John chapter 1, verse 10, says if that person says they have never sinned and they're not sinning, then they're making God a liar because He says all have sinned. Well, why is it important to talk or to teach about sin? Proverbs 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You see, before a person can be saved, and in other words, be ready for heaven, that person must admit he or she is a sinner. In Romans chapter 3, verses 24 and 25, it says, "Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God." And then we read in Luke chapter 18, verse 13. It speaks of the publican. It says, "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And that's the way that a person approaches God when they're sorry for their sin. That is the way a person approaches God when they realize they're a sinner and they can't go to heaven on their own. They need to bow and say, "God, have mercy upon me, a sinner." Well, before a saved person can be used, and if that person has been saved, before they can be used or fully for the glory of God, that person must admit he or she is a sinner saved by grace without Christ. And without Christ, we can do nothing for God. That's the way it is for an unsaved person, and that's the way it is for a saved person. We must admit that we're all sinners, and without the blood of Jesus Christ, no one is going to heaven. And without that fellowship that we have with our Lord through the confession of sin as a Christian, then we cannot be used of God to the fullest that He wants us to be used. Remember, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Well, what do we do as a Christian to get rid of that sin that creeps into our lives? 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Romans chapter 14, verse 23, "And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Have you trusted Him as your Savior today? Do you know Him? Have you asked Him into your heart and said, "Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't save myself. Please come into my heart and save me, forgive me, and make me fit for the kingdom of God." John chapter 15 of verse 3 says that we're cleansed. We are clean through the Word. And John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Now the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And if you've heard me speaking today through this message and you know that you're lost and you can't save yourself, you need to bow where you're at and say, "Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. I receive You as Savior." If you are saved, you need to bow and say, "God, use me, help me to be the person You would have me to be while I'm here on this earth." You've been listening to It's a Good Life Radio. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Visit our websites, lrwm.org, or itsagoodliferadio.com. We know you will be blessed. This program is listener supported. Support your local church first. Any gifts to support this ministry can be sent to LRWM at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Until next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.